All right, welcome aboard. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM. Glad that you could make it on an overcast Tuesday, but it's going to be a great week. The high school football playoffs are going to start on Friday night. And, of course, the big squawk around town will be a second crosstown showdown this year. The first time Port Huron High and Port Huron Northern will ever meet in a playoff game. And I generally bring Paul Costanzo on to talk about college football, and we will get to college football, Paul, I promise. But I have to start with the big game.
Yeah, if you don't want to talk about college football this week, Dennis, I'm okay with that. But the big game. I mean, if the second one lives up to the first one at all, we're all in for a treat. So I am really, really excited to have another crack at Northern PH. I mean, it's the biggest sporting event of the year in Port Huron every year, that game. And to get it twice in a month is incredible.
Especially when they're both so good. They're both so evenly matched. They really are. It's really hard to choose. I mean, I have to pick somebody, so, because I do picks on Monday. So I pick Northern, but I don't know that they're really going to win the game. And I wouldn't be surprised if either side wins this game. What I would be surprised of, though, Paul, is if it's a lopsided game. I expect it to be as close as the first meeting was.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, this one, it's interesting because I obviously know Braden McGregor for Northern, and Theo Ellis is up in the air whether or not he can play. And as well as Isaac Ellenbrook has played in Theo Ellis's absence, I mean, not having a back like Theo Ellis on the field, I mean, that changes things. But the big thing is McGregor, and I mean, I was at their game, at Northern's game last Friday against
Fitzgerald,
and they couldn't generate a ton of pressure without bringing like some extra blitzers. And once they started doing that, it started working out. But we saw in the first time that Northern and PH played, I mean, if you leave those talented PH receivers out one on one on the outside, I mean, you're asking for it. I mean, those are good receivers. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Northern adjusts to, you know, the loss that they have, and then how PH adjusts to, you know, try to get itself over the hump, if they even really do from the first things. It was so close last time that, I mean, what did they look at internally and say, we need to do this differently to win? I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm going to throw two names out there because I think if Northern wins, Seth Klink will be a big reason.
Yeah.
And I think if PH wins, the name to watch is Niger Finney.
Yeah, those are two good names. You know, just having been able to watch Seth a couple times now, I mean, he's so in control. And that, to me, is such a big thing for a high school quarterback. He doesn't look like he gets rattled. He steps up and makes the big play, does a great job of spreading it around to his different receivers, and then can run the ball on his own. And then Niger Finney, he's so explosive. You know, really just getting him the ball with a little bit of space, I mean, is a, you know, it's a touchdown waiting to happen. And so I agree with you. I think, I mean, those are definitely probably the two names to watch this weekend.
Also, and obviously because the teams are a little further out of our area, but I still include them in our area, Elmont and Richmond are going to get a rematch. And they're going to play in Richmond again, which I thought was interesting because Elmont has the 9-0 record and beat Richmond. But Richmond in week one and in week nine, they played Marysville, a playoff team, and beat them. And they played Ortonville-Brandon, a playoff team, and beat them. And that's why they're getting the home game, because on Elmont's schedule, it was New Haven and Clio, two teams that I think combined to win one game this year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the head-to-head in the MHSA only comes into play to break ties. So I was shocked to see it, because I don't think in any of the projections yet it had shown Richmond with a home game, and I didn't look at the post-week nine ones, I guess. But, it was a good for Richmond to have a home game, but not good for Richmond to have to play Elmont again. I mean, that's a really tough Elmont team. But, you know, it's another rivalry game. I mean, that right now in the BWAC, you know, it's probably as big a rivalry as you get football-wise. So, you know, probably not on the same level as PH Northern, but it's close. It's a big one.
All right. You mentioned tiebreakers. So you opened the can of worms, Mr. Costanzo.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know how up on this you are, but we all know that Imlay City lost a coin flip to Durand to miss the playoffs. What I only found out about in the last 24 hours was how Harper Woods Chandler Park played a role in all of this. So what we had was, for Imlay City to get into the playoffs, it was a long shot on Friday night. They had to win their game, which they did. They beat KPAC 34-3. They had to have five other teams lose their games, and they would have made the playoffs. Four of the five lost their games, Paul.
Okay.
But Harper Woods Chandler Park decided not to play their ninth game because they had looked at it in advance, and at 4-4, they were going to get into the playoffs if those other four teams lost, and it didn't matter what Imlay City did. And they got around this because they were scheduled to play Cranbrook, a Catholic League school, and the schools don't need to have contracts for those games. And so there was no contract, and so Harper Woods can argue there is no game. And so they elected not to play, and there really isn't anything the MHSAA can do about it. Instead, they play an eight-game schedule, go 4-4, and because of that, they got a playoff spot that would have gone to Imlay City and Durand. There wouldn't have been a coin flip. Those two teams would have been in.
Wow.
See, and if Chandler Park would have lost that game, they were out completely. Now, had they won the game, nobody could make the argument. But, there's a nice article from Mick McCabe. I suggest that everybody go on and read it, and you can get the full story on what was going on there. But, Chandler Park just decided not to play a game Friday night against Cranbrook, and because of it, they're in the playoffs.
Wow. I guess I didn't realize the repercussions from that end. When I read Nick's article, my initial thoughts were just, high school football, you only get so many chances to play a game, you want to play them. But that makes that even worse. You feel bad, real bad for Imlay City kids, because, they haven't made a run at it in a while.
Well, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2001.
Yeah.
And this was just their third winning season in the last 18 years.
Yeah. So, to be deprived of that because a team, essentially, not a team, a coaching staff, chickened out
and
decided not to play a final game.
Yeah.
Well, the AD is the coach, isn't he?
I don't know if he's the coach, too. I know he's the AD.
Yeah. So, either way, that really stinks for those Imlay City kids. Imlay City did a neat thing this year. They had kids from Dryden playing with them because Dryden didn't have enough kids to fill out a team this year. So Imlay City opened it up and they ran it as a co-op. So that would have been a real nice story in the first year of that to get to that point. But, man, that's rough. That's really rough.
So, anyways, it's not always a good story when we talk about the high school sports, but it'll be a good story Friday night when Port Huron High and Port Huron Northern get together for a second time this season. And again, really, really looking forward to the weekend. Doing a triple header this weekend, and I'll get to the details on that coming up in a later segment. All right, let's just get it out of the way. Michigan-Notre Dame, Paul, your thoughts.
I was absolutely stunned at not that Michigan looked good, not that Michigan was able to, run the ball and that their defense was able to get pressure and, force Ian Book into poor decisions all night. Like, those things didn't surprise me. They were the things that I thought, couldn't happen if Notre Dame wanted to win, but they didn't surprise me. What surprised me was every player on Notre Dame's team looked like he didn't want to be there from the opening snap. And it was, as a fan of the team, so incredibly disheartening to watch. Because, every time Book would go off the field, he would basically curl himself up in one of those big rain jackets and huddle over, a little iPad, like a kid, when you're a little kid and it's really cold in the winter, and you grab the blanket and you huddle over, the one little heat register in your living room. That was what Ian Book was doing. And that's not a good sign from your quarterback. Just shocking, absolutely shocking performance from Notre Dame. They didn't show up at all. But give credit to Michigan. I mean, they showed up, they handled the elements, and, you know, they've, you know, between the second half against Penn State and now this game, they've got quite a bit of momentum going into the last few games of the season.
Well, I was talking to Brady Beeden yesterday, and his kind of thing was, you know, tip your cap to Michigan, great effort, nice win, but in the grand scheme of things, for Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines, if you still don't beat Ohio State, nobody's going to remember what you did against Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, other than me, I'm going to remember that one for a while. But but no, I mean, that's probably right. That's what, you know, Michigan coaches are, you know, they're measured against. That's a tough measuring stick nowadays because Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country fairly consistently now. But I think that Brady's right there. And but I do think, though, like, I went from thinking, you know, they're going to have trouble keeping it within 40 against Ohio State to, you know, not that they're going to win, but, like, maybe a couple touchdowns. Like, it could be close in the fourth quarter kind of thing. There's some momentum is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think that Michigan is, they're definitely moving in the right direction.
Well, I think 40 is a good stretch in their favor this week when they play at Maryland.
Yeah, that's probably right. Although they got to go on the road again, so who knows what's going to happen there. I tell you, the game to watch out for them is the Indiana game because it's on the road in between the Michigan State and Ohio State games. I think that they're going to beat Michigan State because I think we're probably going to talk about MSU here quickly. But yeah. But if they can go on the road and show some maturity and win that Indiana game, and I don't even think handily. Indiana's pretty good, especially at home. That'll tell me a lot about Michigan before that Ohio State game. But yeah, like I said, there are good things happening right now for them.
Michigan State, I think, is a 3-point underdog to the bye this week.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the bye has home field advantage, so that's 3 points, and MSU is clearly not scoring.
And the bye, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The bye can probably at least kick a field goal.
Yeah. Man, brutal stuff. And Penn State's very good. I don't think anybody's saying that, but just, again, the listlessness from the MSU offense, and it's just, it's bad right now. And it's a culmination of, you know, not doing anything in the offseason to address your coaching staff needs on offense other than shuffling some people around and putting them in positions that they weren't used to. And it's all coming back home now, and it's not pretty at all for MSU. And it's the point, like, Michigan State fans, because, you know, I'm friends with several of them, and, like, Mark D'Antonio was untouchable. Like, even after 3-9, even after last year's struggles, Mark D'Antonio was untouchable. He is no longer untouchable in their eyes. Like, it's – the tide has turned a little bit with the way that this is going right now. And they're in a different place. It's an uncharted territory for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Based on the score, Ohio State 38, Wisconsin 7, is there only one team in the Big Ten?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, Penn State, you know, we'll see what happens. And, you know, Michigan, of course, gets Ohio State at home. But they're incredible. And, you know, I think early on they had to kind of get going against Wisconsin, and they had to get through some things. And they were dealing with some weather, not quite the weather that they dealt with in Ann Arbor, but they were dealing with some weather themselves. And once Ohio State got going, though, I mean, they just have much more depth than Wisconsin, and they're just better. They're better all over the field, and that's scary for the rest of the Big Ten because Wisconsin really has looked like that against everybody else, you know, other than the blip against Illinois. So, yeah, I do. It's Ohio State, and there's a giant gap, and then everybody else.
You know, we had talked about this at the start of the year, too, about up at the top there were these teams, and then there was a big gap before you got – to the next grouping. I'm now going to throw Ohio State into the top of the mix. They've got them ranked number 3. Number 1 LSU really had to battle to get by number 11 Auburn. That was one of the two really good games over last weekend.
Yeah, and you know, Auburn, they're so good up front defensively, and really kind of all over the field defensively. And the way that LSU's been playing this year, I mean, that kind of makes sense when you look back on it, because their offense has been so explosive. So for Auburn to kind of hold them in check a little, you know, tells you how good Auburn's defense is. They just don't have the offense to, you know, go up and down the field with LSU. But, yeah, I mean, I think that I'd definitely put Ohio State up there with Clemson and Alabama. Right now I would have Ohio State ahead of Clemson, to be honest with you. And then LSU's right there, too. So this year has turned out a little differently than I think we all anticipated. That's not to say that we won't have Alabama Clemson part 1038 in January, but as of right now, it looks fairly open for the championship, at least among like the top four or five teams.
Yeah, Oregon survives Washington State. That ended up being a real good game.
Yeah, and you know, Oregon, they're lurking now, especially with Oklahoma losing. Because what's Oklahoma going to have to lean its hat on when they come to playoff selection time? And now their Texas win is against a team that has three losses, including a loss at home against LSU. You know, so that opened, I think, a door for Oregon and the Pac-12 to get into the playoff, possibly. And, you know, Washington State's tricky. Mike Leach is tricky. They got a really good offense. So they proved a lot, I think, even in a close win at home.
All right. I really only saw one interesting game for this week, and that's the Florida-Georgia game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big one this weekend. So many teams are on bye this week. It's really crazy. You know, Ohio State's not playing. Wisconsin's not playing. LSU and Alabama are both taking the week off before they slam into each other in another couple weeks. So a lot of the big teams are off. But, I mean, Florida-Georgia, I think it's going to be a real good game. That game could be, you know, 7-3, the way that Georgia moves on offense. And the way that Florida's defense plays. So that will be interesting to me. But it's certainly if you decide to watch one college football game this weekend that's not your team, that's the only possibility, I think.
All right. Good stuff, as always, Paul. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
All right. We'll see you.
Sounds good.
There's Paul Costanzo, who joins us every week on the program to talk college football, and we talk a little high school football, too, today, which we'll do a little more of as we continue on with the Dennis Stuckey Show, going until 7 o'clock this evening, then we've got Red Wing hockey tonight. The Red Wings in action against the Edmonton Oilers, 7:10 here on WPHM. All right, we'll be right back.